B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krejci flipped it ahead. Marchand. It's flipped ahead. Nordstrom over the line. Chipped it toward the net. He scores! With 2 seconds remaining, the horn is going to sound. The Boston Bruins record their first road victory in the playoffs. 6-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. This series is back on serve. Each team with 2 wins and game 5 heading back to Boston.
Let's go.
You got to be feeling better today if you're a Bruins fan, that's for sure. I think that's the most obvious statement of the day.
Here, Judd, back on serve. Game 5. Beantown. Going back to Beantown. Hey, one more person say Beantown.
Please don't say
first
that.
First road victory of the playoffs. 6-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. This series is back on serve. Each team with 2 wins and game 5 heading back to Boston.
Confident.
He didn't say that. Judd knows better.
No, I know that.
He knows better than to say something like Beantown.
You know who says back on serve. I like that.
You flip around. You go to NHL Network. You watch NBC. You see some people, and there's Kevin Weeks and people. Oh, they're going up to Beantown. Yeah.
We're going to go make some moments there. Going to get some clam chowder.
Come on back. Come on back, baby.
I mean, I feel better because offensively the Bruins got in gear last night.
Yes.
And they got contributions from the guys they need to get contributions from. But I don't feel like the Leafs are going away, friends.
Oh, I don't think they...
I don't feel like
they didn't go away at the end of that game last night.
No. No, that was a desperate couple of minutes for each team at the end of the game.
I thought it was going overtime.
I mean, I did too.
I really thought it was.
And you know, when that puck came through the crease, you thought, oh my God, it's tied! Oh my God! You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just luck at that point. I believe in that. Like, you get into those moments... That some of it is just pure damn luck. Yeah. Whoo! Yeah, they escaped is what they did. They scored 6 goals and they escaped Toronto last night with the win. But they got the win.
I don't want to say you stole one, but I mean you got up early.
You didn't steal it.
You stole. I mean, you set the tone early, and I think that was huge for this team. We talked about that yesterday. Come out flying, right? Get a couple quick ones, no hesitation. Put some damn shots on this guy, and that's what they did. And you find a net a couple times, you woke up the damn first line.
First things first, first line. Oh. Okay. Move some things around. Brad Marchand gets going. Okay. Now it all makes sense. Yeah. Patrice Bergeron gets going. Okay. Now it's making sense. Pastrnak, okay. Get your goal scorers scoring goals. And I don't even count Bergeron in there, but he's in the mix.
Get the puck to your best.
He's certainly in the mix and facilitating. Did those guys produce last night? Wherever they were skating, did they produce?
Yeah.
Of course, and that's
Do you keep it the same Friday?
If anything, Zoe, you're not afraid of changing it up. That's what last night should teach you. Don't be afraid to change it up. It worked.
How about the message?
Phenomenal.
How about the message that was sent to David Pastrnak in that first period, though, too? He was on the bench for most of the period. He didn't skate a lot very much in that first.
He looked excited after that first goal, boy.
Then he came on and had 2 in the second. That is pushing of the buttons the coach, and it worked.
He got knocked on his ass initially. I forget which sequence it was and what point in that first period, but he took a header, man. Somebody lit him up, and I'm thinking, oh, no, here we go. He's going to get physically taken out of this game, and I think that's one of the things they can do to him to where he didn't respond in the previous 2 games. But tell you what, he plays like that Friday night. This team's going to be tough to beat at home.
They are. Yes, they are. Here's the head coach, Bruce Cassidy, on the changes that he made last night.
Listen, just moving Pasta around, he wasn't on top of his game, and for whatever reason, Heinen has played, you know, with Berge and Marsh when Pasta missed 4 or 5 weeks, did a good job up there, tailed off a little at the end. I'm not sure Dant can sustain it at this point in his career every night against the top lines, against the top D, but he certainly does a nice job in spots. Pasta and Krejci have played together, so it's just a different look. Johansson's back in. That gives us some balance in the third line, a threat to score with Charlie, maybe a little more than what we had. So just moving some pieces around. Hopefully it gives us a spark. Maybe it makes them think. You never know. It might affect how they do things. I don't think it did. They just, you know, they're going to play their game. But at the end of the day, we still got Pasta back with Bergie a little bit. We knew we'd do that, certainly in the power play and a few five-on-five shifts, and it worked out today.
Something tells me that he didn't spend many hours agonizing over who it would be to put on that top line.
No.
Nah, Heinen, no. Go. It didn't matter.
Totally forgot it.
That was the least important part of the move.
You know, once you get into the playoffs, you forget about everything and how things came together at the end, but I totally forgot that, you know, Pasta was out a while with the big thumb injury from not being able to get into his ride share correctly after a team meeting.
Sponsor.
With
the, team sponsor.
Sponsored dinner.
Yeah,
Dinner.
How do those usually go?
Or whatever it was.
Yeah, nobody's throwing him back there. And then, for whatever reason, you know, he's been out for a while. He was out for a while. I totally forgot about that. I'm like, okay. Maybe there's a little flashback here.
617-779-0985. Your reaction to the Bruins win last night. How'd you think Tuukka Rask played last night?
Really good, and then a little scattered at the end. I thought he panicked at the end.
The one that went under his arm was a bad one.
You think?
Yeah. He wants that one back.
Second goal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good one.
Didn't feel great about
that. No, it didn't feel great about that one. But he played well.
Early. He played well enough early, but that
this
damn
is
one.
This is Tuukka Rask to a T, right? Oh. The guy can go out and play well, but then he lets in a goal where you're like, what happened?
No, the final minute of the damn period again. Here we go again.
And let's, I mean, calling on both sides. Chara's goal on Anderson last night. Huh. I don't think Anderson would play that one the same way a second time.
That's a good point.
There's a couple of goals in there that I'm sure both goalies would like back last night. So
I think Chara was a little shocked that went in. You see the like surprised look on his face. I'm like,
it was that extra, you know, hesitation. And he's just waiting for a little clearing. It was Bergeron who just moved over a little bit, a little more of a screen. I mean, it was a nice combination.
38 saves for Rask.
Nice combination of energy and patience last night. And that Chara's shot, that was an exercise in patience. Ah, I could, but hold on a second. Bergie, could you just thank you. There you go.
Well, give him a couple hours with Ty Anderson. He turns into Mr. Hockey.
Well, Mr. Hockey.
Mr. Hockey, eh?
Did you watch
the game?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, why am I missing?
Well, you're just good at making good observations. That's all. All right. Ty Anderson. Speaking of Ty Anderson, 98.5thesportshub.com is where you can read him. He writes, "You've heard it again and again. Tuukka Rask needed to steal a game for the Bruins to win their series against the Maple Leafs. Through three games, you were still waiting for that game." And he goes on to say, "So with the Bruins on the verge of returning to Boston down 3-1, the point was hammered home once again. Rask needed to steal the Bruins a game before it was too late. Am I crazy for thinking that Rask finally did exactly that in a 38-save, 6-4 victory in Game 4 at Scotiabank Arena?" Did he steal them a game last night?
I don't think so.
I would disagree with this take.
Yeah, I did. Stealing a game is a 2-1 game. You know, that to me is stealing a game because you blocked 35 out of 36 shots. You know, that's stealing a game. Like, oh, man, you're scrambling at the end.
I mean, there is no exact criteria for what is considered stealing a game, but I just...
Like you said, that one goes through the crease.
That one doesn't pass the eye test for me last night.
I'm with you on a little crease one. That's like a little more lucky than, oh, boy, you stole the game. You know? Going off the post on the one. That's a little more lucky. Yeah, you squeezed it, but still went off the post, could have went in. Ugh.
He says, though, and Ty goes on to explain, and you should read the entire story yourself at 98.5thesportshub.com. He says, this is almost doubly true when he says, "I know on the surface a goaltender doesn't exactly steal a game that sees four lamplighters go through him. This is almost doubly true when factoring in that straight-up heinous Austin Matthews wrister that Rask led through, the one that we just talked about."
Yeah.
But he does add, Ty Anderson, again, 98.5thesportshub.com, that it wasn't anything. It wasn't the game was anything but standard, especially if your view came from Boston's defensive zone, which I would agree with. That part I agree with.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a stolen game last night. But that doesn't mean he didn't play well. He did. He had that weak, weak goal that went right under his arm. But I don't know. I it's hard. A 6-4 game doesn't feel like a stolen game.
Maybe Ty Anderson fell asleep.
Say 5 goals. Yeah. Say 5 goals. We're not going to count the last one.
Ty Anderson's in the kitchen right now getting coffee. It's like having my kid drink coffee.
He's everywhere, man.
I know.
He's everywhere.
It's like 12-year-old drinking coffee in there. It's weird. Is he making chocolate milk or you getting hot cocoa?
Maybe that's water.
Some hot cocoa.
It's maybe, a water.
Maybe that's what.
It's a water. It's water in there.
Cream on it.
That's what stunted his growth.
Yeah. Does he shave yet? Yeah. Those kids, those crazy kids.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Also, last night, Celtics get a win in their first playoff game.
What a night.
Their second playoff game, excuse me. Their first win that I think is considered a – I know it's considered a comeback, but is it really a comeback? And Al Horford played last night. He had a big play late in the game. We're going to get to the Celtics as well with your Bruins calls along the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
7-4 Roof.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Businessman Kyrie walking the walk here in this playoff-type game. He pulls up, shoots a quick three, and drills it. Kyrie steps to his right and sticks another three. Leprechauns aren't on that side. What a performance from Kyrie Irving tonight, and we're not done yet. It's Kyrie. Pull up. Three.
Man. Good God almighty. That man, give him a mask because he just robbed a doggone bank.
All year long, he talked it. Tonight, he is walking it with his feet barely touching the ground. Kyrie with Wes Matthews on him. Left-hand dribble. Kyrie stops at 14 feet and hits again.
Man, that's just so nasty by Kyrie Irving.
This is becoming one of the great individual performances in recent Celtic playoff history tonight.
Heart is old, holds my memories.
Celtics get a win last night at the Garden. And the Pacers completely fell apart in the final minutes of the game defensively. Kyrie Irving was great. If you were trying to flip back and forth between the two games last night.
It's hard to get
into
the
flow. As I was trying to do. Yeah.
It's difficult to do.
I kept flipping back to the Celtics and watched Kyrie do something great. That's what I kept seeing. Hey,
you're right. Every time
I'm like, oh, there's Kyrie again doing something big.
Every time you flipped over, there it was. They had the camera zooming in on Kyrie. I'm like, Jesus, is this the same highlight?
Kyrie had himself a night for the Celtics, and that's what you're supposed to do at this time of year.
Oh, they need him?
That's what's supposed to happen, and somehow, some way, the Celtics didn't score 100 points again. 0-9 in the regular season when not scoring 100 points. 2-0 in the playoffs when not scoring 100 points. That should tell you something about the Pacers.
Yeah.
This team sucks.
So Kyrie hits 37 on a night where he really didn't feel like it was he was being the ball hog.
Do you want my negative Celtics take?
Yeah.
That game shouldn't have been that close at the end. The Celtics closed. I mean, they closed and they took care of business and won the game.
Well,
they did everything needed to win. Yeah. They should have never been down by 12.
Right.
It shouldn't have been that close at the end. They should not have been in that position against this team. They are a far better team than the Pacers.
They should blow doors with this team at home. Now, maybe you might struggle a little bit on the road and make those games close, but at home, that's why I said I think it's vital they sweep, get the rest, get Marcus Smart rested, and let's get ready for series two. Like even Brad Stevens yesterday with us, like he seemed not bothered, but let's just go.
There were four guys making plays in the final minutes of that game. Four.
Yeah.
The three veterans.
Yep.
Horford, Hayward.
Horford defensively.
Kyrie, and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum stepped up in this game too. So that was the fourth guy last night was Tatum. That was the young kid who contributed. And if you were sort of forming a hierarchy of the Celtics in their roster, that's how I would pretty much like it to break down at this time of year. That's how I'd like it to go every single game. The three veterans are who you rely on, and then you're also getting significant, meaningful contributions from Jason Tatum.
If they continue to do that, Jim said it too on the way in. Jim, you said what? Kyrie got him to the 2-1.
I had a silver lining in this game. I agree with you. They should have blew him out, and it was an 8-point game, but it wasn't that. It was closer than an 8-point game. silver lining is I think they found their closing lineup. And I think they established some clear roles, and they established the closing lineup in Hayward and Kyrie. I thought for sure the last 2 minutes Kyrie was going to take every shot down the stretch, and he didn't. Hayward hit an 18-footer open. Jaylen Brown swung it to Tatum in the corner. He hit a three. They played their roles really well. Al Horford basically just playing defense at the end of the game, shutting down. We talked about who's going to guard Bogdanovich. Al Horford shut him down late in the game.
How'd you like Horford with a minute to go in the game making that stop where he was out at the top of the key and then shuffles all the way to the basket?
They forced him left.
It
they
was unbelievable.
Him, you know what? Go left. He was overplaying to his right hand so hard. He's like, go left. I'm going to catch up to you at the end. I'm going to block it.
He did. He caught up and he blocked him. And it just the way that he did it, it was so smooth. You want to talk about Al Horford doing the little things? He shows up in the box score last night with 4 points. Huh. Tell me the value of that play with a minute to go in the game to close it out. That doesn't show up. You got to see that with your own two eyes.
No, and there was another play right at the same time where Bogdanovich realized, okay, Horford's going to block me if I go up here. I'm going to try to go up and under. And Horford got in his way enough where he couldn't get the ball up and under. And the ball just it flew flat, and they got the rebound. I feel like they'll beat it. It's the big three. I don't think I think Horford's not in that three. I think Tatum is.
Well, offensively.
You're talking Irving, about offensively.
Okay, you're talking offensively. Game, yeah, I agree with that.
I think Horford's like the Draymond Green of this group, if you want to put him in that Warriors like class. Like, if you're going three offense and then Draymond Green's that tough guy, defensive guy, I think Horford's that guy. But I think, I don't know, I was excited by the end of that game because of the roles and the guys that stepped up. I don't know if Marcus Smart being out frees that up, but it sure looked like it.
I don't know, but it looked great at the end. They did everything right at the end. Everything was good at the end of that game. And granted, the Pacers were happy to play along. They really were. Nate McMillan after the game saying that we need to play better at the end. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I would say that's a good idea. Sweet. do that next time. Yep.
Wesley Matthews, don't throw it cross court out of bounds on an inbounds play and Bogdanovich stops. I mean, they made some terrible plays late in the game. Terrible.
Yeah, they were not good late. And so the Celtics took advantage and the Celtics closed, but I think the Celtics look good in the process. So you said it, Jim. That's a silver lining to this. Silver lining is they found their closing lineup. They found the guys that they want in there and
took
crunch
the entire
time.
Year.
It's the lineup that Stevens started the season with.
Yeah.
It's the same guys. How much has changed with those guys from game one to the closing lineup you saw yesterday?
Not much.
Well, it's really Hayward.
Oh, my. No,
Hayward.
I disagree. Hayward. Everything's changed Hayward. With those guys. Hayward. Everything.
Well, Hayward has changed, but what else has changed? What has changed with Hayward?
Look at Tatum's
season. What's changed with Horford?
Look at Jaylen Brown's season.
What's changed with Horford?
Look at Kyrie's season. Horford's the only stable one.
Okay, but you're talking about the start of the year. When you talk about Tatum coming off the playoffs he had last year, I mean, something has changed, but it was what they played poorly during the season.
The way that lineup started the season to the way that lineup is now to playing together was one game. Maybe it's an anomaly, and next game they're going to show that they can't play with that lineup. But, I don't know.
I'm just saying individually at that time, you would have had all the reason to put those guys together. It wasn't somehow wrong.
Right. No, you're putting your five best out there. But the fact that Tatum and Hayward didn't defer to Kyrie, and they feel like, oh, God, we could actually take the shot at the end. If I got a little jumper, I'm going to take it. I feel like I have the ability to take it. Instead of, let's get the ball to our best player and let's let him take over and close the game out. Like, he's facilitating them at the end and bringing them right along with him.
They just play their offense. Open guy got the shot. That's when they're going to be good, is when they play that
people
offense.
People say, oh, Stevens having words. That's good. I mean, even Danny talked about today. That's good stuff. That's intensity. It's like his head's in it. You're going back and forth. You need a little bit of that. That's what the great ones do.
I would love to see Marcus Morris sort of challenged to get into the starting lineup, and then I watch him last night, and he goes 0-for-8, and I think, what?
But if he doesn't do what he did Sunday, you're in trouble.
What is with you, man? Yes, I know.
You take what he gives you. I think that's where you're at with him. When he gives you your best, you take it, and when he's off, you just got to chalk it up as not a good night for him. Not that you want him more, but you appreciate what he did on Sunday.
I want the Celtics to sweep the Pacers in this series. I want this thing over with.
Yes, don't play around.
Over with. Get a couple extra days off in there.
Wouldn't it be awful to go up 3-0 and then let them back in
for
2 games?
Yes, don't waste your time. Let's go, Celtics. Yes. Step on their throat. Alex in Georgetown on the Bruins. And before we get to you, Alex, I want to say this. Coming up at 10:50, we're giving away a pair of tickets to Game 5 for Bruins Maple Leafs. Alex on the Bruins, go ahead.
Ooh. Hey, guys. Love your show. You guys are by far the best on the radio.
Hi. We agree.
I think so too. I just wanted to say, for Tuca last night, I'm a Tuca fan, I will say. But even as bad as the beginning of the third period was, you could see how zoned in he was in the last 2 minutes of that game. But I don't think that he stole it, because that indicates that the Maple Leafs offense outplayed our offense, and that is just not true. That top line was on point for the first time in like this whole series.
Yeah, they cranked it up. I'll tell you what, Toronto's pretty damn good. They got talent. So I know Tuca's going to struggle at times, but you talk about that intensity at the end where it hits things like his head's on a swivel. He had that at the beginning of the game too. There were some lapses in there. There were undoubtedly some lapses in there for him. So he didn't steal it though. I don't look at that game where I come out of that thinking, whew, all right, Tuca, you stole that one. Had a great save one time. I ended up tweeting about it, like, yeah, there's a great save. But not once did I come away from that game thinking he stole it. You steal 2-1 games. Tight games, you know, against a team that could score, and you hold them down with the one goal, that's still in the game. Not Chad letting in as many as he did. Sorry.
Chad in Medford on the Celtics last night. Hey, Chad.
Hi, Beetle.
Hey.
Yeah, somebody mentioned, I think that the final plays, I think they're set, like, going with the Tatum, Kyrie, Brown, Horford, and Hayward. Because you see, Horford, he's got the best basketball IQ on our team, I think. You see the play, Beetle, at the end of the game. There was like 10 seconds left. They're up 3. And he made that pass. He could have held on to the ball and got fouled. And technically, he probably would have made both free throws. But he made that pass to Tatum, and Tatum made the dunk and put away the game.
Yep.
But on Morris, you're right. You know what? One thing about him, when he's hot, yeah, he's hot. But when he's really not, he's not. He'll still chuck it up, even if he's 0-10.
That's the problem. Better. That's the problem. Is like, that guy won't hesitate to shoot, even when he's off.
Right, Will.
Yeah.
But going forward, this series shouldn't be close, because Indiana can't score. I'm sorry. But they're playing better. They're getting a little bit of momentum. I think next series we'll see how it comes together. And they probably can maybe give it a run with Golden State with Cousins going down. They ain't playing that great.
All right. Okay. Let's slow down, Chad. Let's slow down. We're not looking ahead to the NBA Finals just yet.
The Celtics, but he's right about the Warriors.
In general, what, they're vulnerable without Boogie?
Oh, they blew a 31-point lead the other night.
Yeah. No, I didn't see any of that. How the hell did that happen?
It's so hard. It's late.
Apparently, Lou Williams just took over. The Clippers have a bunch of nobodies.
Had them right where they wanted them, down 31.
The phone intern.
Phone's ringing. Eddie's in Reading today. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
Hey, I think the Bruins let their, they took their foot off the gas late in the game there. They let Toronto back in the game. I think they thought they had it had it under control, and obviously they didn't. And I think the Celtics played Ben's basketball, and that's why they won the game last night. Kyrie actually played the right game.
He took really good shots. Now, the parts and snippets I saw of the game, it's like the shots he took weren't crazy. You know, he's not driving and forcing it. He's pulling up, creating space. Pops and sticks it, and see Wick jumping up. It's good stuff. Feeling pretty damn good. Feeling
right,
pretty
sure.
Damn good about.
Yeah. What did he say there?
Right, sure.
I thought he called him Drew.
I thought he called him Drew too.
Just hear it again.
Hi, Drew.
Right, sure.
Right, Zoll. It's Chad.
Bledsoe
Medford.
And Bertrand.
No. Yeah.
You'd like that, don't you?
Johnny in Vermont. Johnny.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
So I was wondering, towards the end of the game there was a late break by, I think it was Collison that burned Kyrie, went up and scored, and we called the timeout pretty quick, and Stevens kind of came out staring down Kyrie saying something, and you could see Kyrie looking back, like, kind of shook his head and brushed it off. I just wanted to see if that was something you noticed, too, was Stevens actually putting his foot down and saying something to him, saying, you know, what are you doing on the play, where's your head, or what? You know, I didn't know if you guys noticed that or not.
I didn't notice it, but I'm going to take a look at it because I want to see it for myself. Jim, where can I see that? Jim's telling me where we can watch this video. I mean, it is possible that it is possible that the coach actually did some coaching or actually got on his player. I know that it's Kyrie Irving, and I know that you got to treat him with kid gloves.
Somebody sent us the video. I just retweeted it from the show account.
Oh, whoa, very good then. Thank
look at you.
You
being handy.
Look at that. He's talking to Kyrie. That does look. Oh.
What, the back and forth to Stevens and him?
Oh.
No, people are making more out of this than what that is.
Oh.
A break.
Bledsoe McDaniels? I mean, not Bledsoe. Brady McDaniels type?
No, that was a little more intense.
No, but that type of relationship where just that stuff happens and then they blow it off?
Yeah. Great ones. Great. To your point, great ones.
I don't know. Yes. I mean, Brad doesn't look all that fired up.
Brad just let go.
He looks like he's saying something to him, and he's getting a little bit of pushback here from Kyrie, and then Kyrie just throws his hands up and walks away, and shakes his head and walks
probably
away.
Probably smartly. You know, not worth dying on. Let's go. Let's get to the bench, get rested. Let's talk about this. I don't. People are making more out of this. Like, oh, they don't get along. Look at this. Look at this video.
It's the glare before the cutaway to commercial. That's what makes it look worse. It's kind of glares over. But we don't know what happened after the glare. Yeah.
You can't see Brad Stevens' face there. You don't know what his facial expression is.
Kyrie in his postgame, sitting up at the podium, said, oh, it's great to be out there for the Celtics. This is what I waited for. You know, the knee surgery, you know, the knee stuff last year. This is what it's about, man. There's nothing better than this. It looks like he's pissed off, his face. I just think that's part of his look.
And so I'm looking and trying to figure out who Kyrie's pointing at. He's pointing at Jaylen Brown. What's he pointing at Jaylen Brown for?
Probably screwing up a defense.
Is he trying to pin it on Jaylen Brown?
Maybe.
Or saying maybe I thought he had him or something. I don't know.
Like, what do you want me to do? Can't do it all.
He didn't want to take any blame. Know that.
I thought Kyrie was trying defensively last night. He might not be great at it, but he was trying last night late in the game.
There was effort, is what you're saying.
Yeah, late in the game. I don't know if he was trying the whole game, but late in the game he was.
All right, Hardy has our headlines. Don't forget, we got Bruins tickets for you for Game 5 at 10:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bruins tickets coming up 10 minutes from now. 10 minutes from now, we'll get your Bruins tickets. How's that sound? That sound nice? Bruins
sounds
tickets
nice.
For Game 5?
Yeah.
Friday night? Zoe doesn't like that. It's Good Friday. It's very religious.
It's early game. Six.
I walked in the building today.
Yep.
And there's a big sign on our front door.
What's it say?
It says the Beasley Media Group Boston offices will be closed tomorrow.
It was up there yesterday. The big yellow signs?
I didn't come through that door yesterday, but I came through the front door today.
Good Friday.
I saw that, and I thought, well, this will make Zoe happy.
Yep, regular people shouldn't work tomorrow. Hey, I totally agree. Like Ken would say, Ken and Lowell, regular.
No. Ken Lowell has a propensity to...
It's a problem.
Regular people won't be what?
Shouldn't work tomorrow. Like the people in the office. Regular workers. We're not regular. We're entertainers.
Tomorrow.
We need to be on air. I mean?
No, it wasn't just you. It was not just you. I heard it exactly the way you did.
So it's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You keep seeing the pregame starts at 6 on Nesson. You keep thinking the game starts at 6.
Sorry.
7 p.m. Celtics are at 8:30.
And then he said, you know, like Ken and Lowell. And I'm like, yeah, exactly like Ken and Lowell. Exactly like Ken and Lowell.
No, you know what he's referencing there.
Ken uses the word regular. You ever hear Ken say regular?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny.
We're going to be here tomorrow, though.
We'll be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you might be tempted to take the day.
No, comp day. We'll use that in the summer.
Oh, okay. So deeply religious, I'll be here tomorrow. Yet we'll work the Good Friday holiday. Yep. In order to...
Lord loves a working man.
He sure does.
That's right. 617-779-0985.
Lord loves a working man. If you catch, get rid of it. There's one more phrase in that movie. I can't remember what it is.
The athlete on the box. I mean, I had a Bruce Jenner one back in the day when he was a regular.
Oh, God.
A regular.
Oh, my God. You're good. That's good. That's the Ken. Ken called us yesterday. Hadn't heard from him in some time, but he's alive. He's doing well.
Love Ken.
Yeah. You guys have weird dreams at all? You ever had a weird dream?
Are we doing this now?
Might as well. Go for it.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
I woke up at 4:40.
Zoe wants to get this off his chest.
Same as me.
Yep. Regular people won't be work tomorrow. I'll be what?
We'll play you the unedited later. It sounds like you said a bad word.
No, not at all. I wake up at 4:44 and pop up out of bed like sort of a cold sweat.
Yeah.
You, Hardy,
yeah.
and Joe Montana,
yeah,
the older Joe, eldest Joe, are on my roof.
Wait, so the Joe Montana's dad?
No, the Joe. Joe has a young kid too, Joe. But
you say all you have to do is say Joe Montana. Everyone's going to assume senior.
And Joe Montana,
who knew that he was a senior?
Not the less famous one.
A San Francisco.
When he says old Joe, I'm like, oh, is Joe Montana's dad?
You know what it is?
He's talking about Joe Montana Jr.
You know what it is? New pros doing my roof next Friday.
Okay.
Was he old or was he like player Joe Montana?
He was like gray haired Joe Montana. So like
wearing Skechers.
Post playing Joe Montana. No.
Skechers Joe Montana?
Jeans and his own. Burnt red, orange, burnt red jersey. Is 16.
Okay.
He's got a Montana jersey on, and you and him are on my roof.
Yes.
Clearing snow off of my roof.
Okay.
Shoveling it off, and I'm screaming up to you guys, please be careful. I don't want you to fall off.
Okay.
And I remember running back inside looking for stuff in a panic to find for Joe to sign. And I couldn't find anything.
So let's get into this a little bit.
I couldn't find pictures, and it was just it's one of those weird dreams, like, what the freak are you doing in my dream with Joe Montana?
All right, well, we're going to figure it out right now. Joe Montana's from your hometown or home area?
Yeah.
Went to your high school?
Yep. Dad coached him, all that. Yep.
Would you consider him one of your boyhood heroes?
Yes.
Very much so. So here I am.
I know why the roof is in, because I'm getting my roof done next year. I established that.
Okay, so the roof is in there, but here, one of your heroes is up there with me.
Not one of my heroes.
Your dreams
is like
your dreams don't lie.
Angel versus devil.
Two of your heroes up there clearing your roof.
Yes, for me.
Why would we be clearing your roof?
There was so much snow on it.
Okay, what does that mean? Do you had to have a roof cleared? What does that mean?
They got stuff hovering over my head.
So you need
now. You're getting
a heroic figure.
I don't need this today
in your life.
I don't
to get the weight off of you that you feel is pressing down on you, and you need a heroic figure like Joe Montana or me to somehow ease that burden for you.
I woke up thinking, why are you in it?
I've got some literature.
Not why is Joe in it? Why are you in it?
I've got some literature I'd like you to look at. No, it's. I think you'll enjoy it.
Are you Jehovah?
It's another story involving him.
Ringing my doorbell. Well, thanks. All set.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Anything I can do to help?
No, it was weird, man. And then you can't go back to bed. Like, okay, that was weird. Like, what's wrong
I'm surprised
roof?
That the Jehovah's bother you in some way.
They don't. They don't at all. They're very fine people. They actually live by something. They're very nice.
I haven't seen them in my neighborhood in a
Fantastic.
While.
Fantastic.
There was a period where they were banging on the door once a week.
Yeah, them and the magazine sales people. Oh, man.
Those still exist?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just drop
they must see some easy marks
was,
down and rent
them. When was the last time you heard one of those? I mean, people don't even have magazines. People don't read magazines.
Like, where's
we
your
used
car?
To, we used
like,
to get the
your car?
All the magazines are going out of business.
We got the Jehovah's and Rossi, and now in Canton, it's the lawn care people.
I try to.
Everybody, they're coming around.
Lawn care? Lawn, and
you need some of that. Yours is brown.
And not, the clothes cleaner.
Zoe saw it the other day. Is it coming back? My lawn need any help?
You're going to be fine.
I'm going to be fine.
That's sod.
See?
You look right at it, sod.
I'm fine.
Because where the backyard party cuts down to that slope, that's like planted grass. You could tell the difference.
Yeah, we're fine. Don't worry about me. We're all set.
He's good.
Nice. I'm not worried about you. I just know that you got bad grass. That's all. I
tell you what, that mailbox ain't surviving anything. And if that plow that thing's going
We've
down.
We've been over that.
First snow plow. That
can you set me
down.
Up with your guy who fixed yours?
Sure.
Can you do him from scratch? Can Hervé. You do him from scratch?
His name, Hervé. Yeah. He travels with it in his car.
Okay, well, good. He's mobile.
Like, I got all the parts. I want to see him.
Coming up next segment,
they are.
We're going to have a winner. We're going to have a winner on the Bruins tickets for Friday night game 5 at the Garden.
Everybody's been calling.
And we're also going to hear from a couple of losers. That'd be the losers on that radio broadcast up in Toronto. Let's hear how those guys handled the loss last night. Bonesy. Bonesy, how'd things go up
there? What do you think Espo did yesterday? Went out and played some golf?
Yeah, his schedule is freed up. You'll hear from those guys, and we're giving away Bruins tickets next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Tavares coming out at center. Works to the line and in with a shot. Blockered away there by Rask. Another shot taken there by Marner is blocked. Rebound backhanded high. Giddy up, puck. Giddy up. Giddy up, you. Get down. Now, icing waved off. Riley drops for Marner. He'll get down there first. Trying to pry it away from Brandon Carlo, who's got it up against the wall. The puck still up against the boards. Cleared to the line, not out. Down into the corner for Tavares. A centering pass! And just failing to redirect that was Zach Hyman. Puck goes down into the corner. 10 seconds now. Bruins trying to hang on, and they're going to do it. It comes out at center ice, and it is chipped into the empty net. Right now, you can go to Game 5. Be caller number 5 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. You'll win a pair of tickets to experience the hard-hitting action of Game 5 as the Bruins take on the Maple Leafs at the Garden. Select tickets are available right now at Ticketmaster.com. If you're caller 5 right now, you're going to win a pair from us at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Backhanded high. Giddy up, puck. Giddy up. Giddy up, you. Get down. Now, icing waved off.
Get up, get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo town.
It's like Flavor Flav.
How did those two handle the loss last night up there in Toronto?
Where's the other guy? What's he doing? Oh, it's the playoffs. We got to start booking flights to Boston. Get dinner reservations. We'll be busy, too, the holiday weekend.
Book your hotel, Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones.
Book your hotel, Mr. Bones.
Don't want to jinx it now, but
yeah.
I left the building to get online.
Don't want to look ahead, but book a room in Columbus, Mr. Bones. Maybe too soon for that. Too soon.
Boy, I start chirping about the Hall & Oates thing. People think I don't like Hall & Oates. I like Hall & Oates. It's an awful goal song.
It's a weird song to use for your goal
work,
song.
It doesn't work, man. It doesn't work.
It's weird. Anything else from them?
You know what? Two.
We got plenty.
Oh, yes.
We got plenty.
Private Eyes would work better than that one.
No, it wouldn't.
I'd take Private Eyes.
We're watching you. They see your every
move. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
No.
Not good.
How about Maneater?
No. God, no. Oh.
She only comes up.
Maybe. Yeah.
Watch out, boy.
No. No, I just wouldn't go to Hall & Oates, man.
Maybe. No. No.
She's a Maneater.
So this is Pastrnak power play goal. All right?
Yes.
This is going to make it 4-2. Here is the Leafs radio call from last night.
Draw one by Boston. Pastrnak a shot.
Nice one. What?
Very
what?
Good.
Hold that. Jim is talking to me in love it. What? Is this it or not, Jim? Am I playing the right one?
That's two. Play one first. Labeled one and two.
Oh.
Wow.
This is when the Leafs got called for the roughing penalty.
Got it.
Once again, from last night, Leafs radio.
And now a centering pass.
Leafs are getting a penalty.
There he is.
And is it going to be a high stick? Charlie?
Stick.
High stick.
A penalty.
It's a high stick.
Give me another Molson Brodeur.
And is it going to be a high stick? Charlie McAvoy is being examined.
It's a good
roughing call.
What?
It's a good call.
High stick.
Roughing call. Matthews to the penalty box.
All right. We're looking again. Trying to find the penalty here.
Is this the one who put his stick right into his face?
Yes. And McAvoy's bent over like this, going, oh, my face. And he's holding his face. Then he goes, now,
wow.
McAvoy did do a good job of hanging on to the stick there, but he still got hit across the face with a stick.
Wow. They push and shove each other in front of Tuukka Rask. Now the crowd has been able to see it on the video board. Charlie bit my finger.
God, this town up there sucks. You know why? Every penalty against them wasn't a penalty. They are. They're one of those crowds. They're Montreal light.
Is this a Vancouver Burroughs reference? What is this?
Charlie bit my finger.
What the hell is
this? This is an old, old internet reference.
What?
What are you talking
about? Charlie bit me.
Oh, that's right. The kid.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Ouch, Charlie.
It's like a three-year-old with a baby.
Is that Fred's kids?
That really hurts.
That's probably 10-plus
like
years ago.
I like totals.
Charlie bit my finger.
Wow.
That doesn't resonate.
Charlie bit my finger hit the internet in 2007.
Charlie bit me.
Be better off with Chucky. And Chucky hit my head? Effing Chucky? Effing Chucky?
You know what?
Oh, God.
That video just made it to Canada all these years later. The Charlie bit my finger video.
You are a swear.
I just saw this last night on YouTube.ca.
Oh, did you hit your head?
Charlie bit my finger.
YouTube.
I saw that on...
Charlie bit me.
Yeah, I saw that last night on ContuBe.
Give me the Chucky. Jim, give me the Chucky one, too.
It's you know, they call it a TV to tube, but in Canada, we call it CanTube. CanTube.ca, eh?
Charlie bit my finger.
Oh, shut up. Okay. Now, I'm going to play the second one, Jim, the one that's labeled two.
Yeah, because they scored on the penalty.
Thanks.
Okay, so the ensuing power play. All right, it makes sense. I screwed up. God. The ensuing power play, this is going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs radio call of the David Pastrnak power play goal.
Draw one by Boston. Pastrnak, a shot. There's a rebound in front. Backhanded in front of the goal. Another shot stopped by Raha Anderson. Marchand trying to center. He did. Pastrnak scores. A horrible call, and the Leafs pay for it. 4-2 Boston.
Yeah, it's a full scramble of the Leaf power play once again. Ainge unable to clear. Very nearly put in by Marchand on the left wing side. Then the Leafs get four men in the faceoff dot to the left of Freddie Anderson. Well, guess what? That leaves a man wide open in front, and it's only David Pastrnak.
Ref,
he snaps
suck.
It past Freddie Anderson, who's given up four now in just 19 shots. I mean, I realize it's a difficult job for the officials to do in the playoffs. And
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Now,
these
wait a
guys
second.
In the
how about,
refs
how about Bojan Anderson, yeah. Who's given up four goals on 19 shots? Man, I thought he was going to continue with that.
And you don't want games to get out of hand like they did in game two. But, my God, how many penalties you could call in a playoff game if that's roughing?
Well, you call the ones that are roughing, and you don't call the other ones. That's kind of how that works out. Oh, my God.
Jim, we give the Bruins tickets away, or should people still be calling?
Charlie bit a finger.
It is. It's Montreal-esque is what it is.
Chucky hit my head.
These guys don't have a single penalty that isn't a penalty. There's no... The Toronto Maple Leafs commit no penalties on the ice. Every call up there gets booed. Every call is the wrong call. Every call is some sort of act against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Beers is so good at when something happens to the Bruins are responsible for it. Oh, yeah, see it right there. And even, like, remember the Marchand would have his issues? He'd just totally rail on him for it. Beers is so good at calling it. So good. Calls it like he sees it.
Keep going.
That's it.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, that's it.
I thought we had more to play. Nope. Excellent.
All done.
Oh, fools. Crybabies up there.
They probably smell like
Toronto. 617-779-0985. We got Bruins and Celtics in the mix today, but also last night, the Red Sox lost again. They lost again, and now they've lost Dustin Pedroia. We'll get to that story in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.